In all of New York State, there are only 9 towns that are completely dry. What do I mean by dry? Well, no alcohol. No alcohol sold. New York specifically allows cities and counties to exercise a local option by public referendum whether to go dry or not. One of those towns is Argyle in Washington County, New York. In Argyle, the measure has come up for a vote for decades. It has, so far, always been defeated by voters. So, what are brewers to do? Well, in the case of the Argyle Brewing Company, unable to open in their own dry town, they opened in neighboring Greenwich with the slogan, "Dry town, wet basements." The Argyle Brewing Company is a New York State farm brewery, and it has quickly become the place to meet in town after opening in early 2014. The brewery operates under a New York farm brewery license, meaning a certain amount of the ingredients come from right in New York State. The brewer trio joins us this morning. Matt Stewart, Chris Castrio, and Rich Thomas are here in Studio A. I don't know what this studio is. Are we calling it A? Yes. Is it still? Okay. Their makeshift Studio X or whatever. And it's a delight to have you guys here. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Very nice to have you here. And you brought beer, so kudos to all of you. Very nice.
Just the morning flavors.
Yeah. That's right. What do you want to start off with?
Probably we should start Shandy, don't you think?
Yeah, let's do Shandy.
Okay. Like a work our way up.
Start all right. Nice now, what is a Shandy?
Well, Shandy, it starts off with our lightest ale, the Blonde Ale, and then it's infused with lemon. And the listening audience is only going to be able to enjoy it through us because this is the last of it.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Yeah, for this season. Yeah.
Did I help in that?
I think you did. We appreciate that.
You've been a big help, Jim.
You're very welcome. You know, the thing about it is that, so tell me how this process works, because I remember, last year, you guys, from my understanding, when I went to the brewery, I go there on occasion, is that you took the cute little blonde ale that you make, which is great, and then you were putting lemonade in it. Right? Am I right on that?
That is true.
Okay. So is it different how you're making it this year?
Well, basically, no. In the fact that instead of pouring it glass by glass, it's made, you know, right in the after the fermentation and then into the bright tank, which is a conditioning tank to carbonate it. And then we're serving it right out of the tap.
The lemonade goes right into the bright tank with the finished beer.
Okay, well, it tastes great.
Thanks.
Yeah, very nice.
Cheers. For a day like today.
Yes. Cheers to all of you. Thank you very much. Yes. All right. So let me just ask this question. What is a farm brewery? How did you come up with this idea and really tap into something that, pardon the pun, that has gone over so well? Not just here, but in across the country.
Well, sure. Do you want me to jump on that one?
Go for it.
Sure.
Well, having a brewery has been a very long dream, particularly of mine, timing was never quite right. As you know, started in Pennsylvania and actually was very close to opening something back then. Moved up to upstate New York 17 years ago and had been brewing for, I guess, now about 25 years or so, backyard kind of thing. And it really didn't kind of come to a real, another real possibility until I actually met Matt. And Matt and I, we met,
Matt, who makes dreams come true.
That's right.
Yeah, and of all places, because Argyle's dry, you know, the secret society of brewers didn't really burst onto the scene until, we met in, Bennington, Vermont at a beer competition.
Yeah, we met competing against each other.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe there was another Argyle
home brewer.
And we ended up having a really good time at that competition.
Yeah. What is it? So tell us, Matt, what it means to be a farm brewery in New York State. So this law is relatively new.
Yeah, it's legislation that went through in the past couple of years. And pretty much what it does is really gives the smaller brewer a chance. We have to utilize a certain percentage of New York grown hops and New York grown grains into every batch of beer that we make. And then by doing that, we get some really nice incentives and tax breaks, and, you know, being able to serve beer by the glass and what have you in our tasting room, and you know, nice breaks that, you know, I'm not going to bore the listeners with, but
right.
It's definitely worth being a farm brewer, and it really, that was the spark that really ignited Argyle Brewing Company. It was really a pipe dream before that, and to keep up with, you know, to keep up with the business as a straight-on microbrewery before the farm brewery legislation passed, it would have been a much larger upfront investment that we definitely could not have done. So really the nice thing is you can have a smaller brew house, you can send more beer out at retail, and therefore you can sustain your business with a much smaller operation. And that's really the farm brewery legislation. It's been wonderful for New York. I think we were, what were we, Chris, 21st or 2nd or
something,
in the state when we
first
got our
wave.
License. Yeah, yeah, now there's a whole other wave coming through too now too.
Now the difference between a microwave, microbrewery. Sorry,
okay, cut Joe off.
Sorry. Yeah, all right. Is that you? Well, first of all, you don't serve food. It's just about the beer, and not only about the beer, but it's serving beer to your community, to the community.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's been one of the more rewarding aspects of the whole thing, is developing relationships with the people that are growing the hops and the barley,
yeah,
and the local farmers that come in, you know, every week, and the great people that you get to meet. The demographic we're pulling from is some really great people in the area.
Well, let me ask you about that. Well, two things. One is about the farmers themselves. When Matt was describing this about a specific type of the legislation says that a certain amount has to be from New York State and so forth. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not a hardship, right? Because you have great people to draw from. Your product mm-hmm. doesn't suffer from that legislation.
Not at all.
And that's also another advantage of our size too, is that, you know, we can keep up our demand. The supply can keep up with our demand. That's what I meant to say. If we did start bigger, we may have some problems hitting those numbers. But the nice thing is, we're starting small, and then when it's time for us to grow, there's other farms, barley farms, hop farms, you know, not just statewide but locally as well, that are just springing up. So it's kind of fun. We're kind of growing with the farmers. It's a neat symbiotic mm-hmm. relationship.
Then there's a question about your demographic, and from just being a customer, and not just of your establishment but many others, there's really what is fascinating. Beer brings us all together, isn't it? I mean, you're not looking at, you know, males from the age of 36 to 42. It is really, obviously over 21, but it's really anybody of any economic group, and I mean, it's right. all over the board, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely,
and that's been fun seeing that happen. You come to the tap room, and if you don't know anybody, you will know somebody by the time you leave.
You know,
it's just one mm-hmm. of those establishments where we don't have a TV,
yeah.
And it creates conversation. And I haven't seen anybody leave this, unhappy with that.
So. Yeah, we just keep it, you know, brightly lit. And yeah, the no TV has been a big aspect. And we've had so many fun conversations spark up. I can honestly say I don't think I've made this many friends in such a shorter period of amount of time than I have since maybe college.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as a customer, I would say that too. It's what's fascinating to me, and I want to get into the social aspect of this as well, because, you know, coffee shops were a big part of this, what people would refer to as the Starbucks culture, that there would be a place where people would go and meet and talk about the issues of the day. What you have done, and what many of these farm breweries have done, is become a centerpiece of the community where people will come and meet. What I find interesting about it, though, is exactly what you said: no TV. Also, I would add, no stools.
Yeah, well, that happened by force when we first opened up. Again, being one of the first farm breweries, The area, being the only one still in Washington County, didn't really know where to place us. And what I mean by that is who has jurisdiction over us in a way. Of course, the SLA, State Liquor Authority, does. But as far as the health department and or ag and markets. And as we found out the hard way, we started with the health department. And the health department said, well, if you have any seating arrangement, then you need to relicense as a bar or a tavern. So we didn't want to argue with the state agency on that. So we did not put any seating in there. As time went on and we became a little more educated or informed, we realized that we really are supposed to be under Ag and Markets. And Ag and Markets said, no, we're okay with, you know, having seating. The upside to that happening is, I think if we were allowed to have stools in the beginning, we would have, because that's what, you know, a bar tends to have. And by not having that, and you get to kind of belly up literally to the bar, it makes you more fluid and mobile. So when somebody new comes in and it's a little crowded, it parts like the Red Sea. Come on in, you know, get in here. You don't have a beer, you know. So it makes it really friendly right off the bat. So we will eventually start putting in some high tops and stuff like that. But we're going to keep the bar clean. We're not going to put a stool there because we've noticed that that's a really nice, just a fluid area.
And there is seating at the windows where it's correct. The windowsills are big enough to sit down.
Now we can admit the windowsills were really.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you can fit,
yeah,
do it. Okay, we're ready for round two. What do you got?
Yeah, we're gonna try.
Do a new glass.
Should we crack out the red since we're with Joe? Right.
Joe, you pick. You're the guy. We get alt red.
All right. Let me ask this question. We'll do the red. All right. Do the red. And what is so? Most of this question I ask of that sounds so great.
Well done.
What is the and there's cups here if you need them. What is the most popular?
I would say, you know, on a day-to-day basis, it's going to be the IPA. Whenever a new flavor kind of comes on or new style, that tends to be quite popular. Like the Witch's Brew that we have here, too, you know, that gets a lot of excitement. You know, our seasonals always get, you know, a good fanfare. And for us, seasonals are seasonal. When we're making a pumpkin ale, the pumpkin ale is going to be in the fall. You know, you don't get fresh, great pumpkins, you know, in June or April.
And that's a really really fun advantage of our size too, is that we're so small we can actually use an ingredient in our pumpkin ale a lot of breweries don't use, and it's called pumpkin. so that's why that.
Because usually it's just like nutmeg.
That's what we use, nutmeg.
And this year was last year was our first year of the pumpkin ale, just as an example. But it really, I mean, we're just a family with it. We had three different households the nights before, you know, cutting up pumpkin, cubing them up, roasting them, putting them in Coleman coolers for the next day. I mean, it was pretty fun.
Now, what I find fascinating about this is because of the clientele, because of the business, and this is just, and I know breweries across the region have this, which is you'll do something like the Maple Porter, and people will be waiting. I mean, just that lead up to the Maple Porter, when's the Maple Porter going to be? And this is what's going on, and I hear all three of these gentlemen explaining to customers, all right, here's the deal with maple syrup. We're looking for this kind of weather. We're waiting for this. So all of that comes into it.
Right.
The education of not only, well, beer, but also farming, really.
And the seasonality of what's going to be coming into harvest and what we can utilize as an adjunct in the seasonal beer that we're producing.
And again, you know, we're a farm brewery. We're in farm country, and it's not just grains either. You know, the pumpkins came from a local farm. You know, the maple sap's coming off of, you know, the local sugar shacks.
And from Argyle.
From Argyle. You know, so it works
the
out
coffee.
Really well. The coffee is being roasted in Washington County.
Yeah, when we do our coffee.
Yeah, in Hebron.
When we do our coffee porter, it's always fun to say that we're currently the only brewery in the county utilizing the only coffee roaster in the county. So it's
And we have local honey that goes into the pumpkin ale as well.
And local syrup and all that too. So
now you're the chemist of the lot, Rich.
Yeah, I do all of the yeast ranching and the water treatments.
Okay, what is yeast ranching?
Just culturing the yeast, making sure that
Here we go. Like put a cowboy hat on.
And yeah. I make sure that we have fresh cultures that are ready to go for the latest brew we have going on. Luckily, it's the way we're set up. We're just using two strains of yeast, so it's not too complicated. But Matt and I get together, we plan out the next week's brews, and we get the cultures rolling, so they're always ready to go.
I like that whole planning out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Planning out next week.
Yes.
Not always that official, but.
No, just a rough idea always helps.
Yeah.
So, here's a story. So last night I go in to make sure you guys are coming down and, just to make sure, because quality control on my end.
That's right.
We appreciate that.
Yeah,
Joe.
Sure. Whatever. Absolutely. I can do to help. So I go in and Chris is at the bar and you have the Shandy, which we tried earlier. And we described it as the beautiful beer, and then all he fills up the glass, and all of a sudden takes a shot of
blackcurrant.
I was looking for the fruit. Cider.
Yeah.
From Hicks Orchard in Granville, also in Washington County.
Yeah.
So, and then a little shot of that, mm-hmm. which changes the color. It becomes like redder, darker.
Yeah.
And then, but a great flavor.
Yeah.
So. Now, this all leads up to the question of, you guys play around with this stuff a lot.
Well, that's what's fun. You know, and actually, that was customer inspired. You know, we have customers going, hey, you know, I mean, it's their glass. So it's like, let's try this. And I was like, sure, let's try it. And, you know, well, yeah. So that, I think we
once
call
the word
that a Shangria
gets out,
now.
The Shangria, Once the word gets out, we find ourselves pouring more.
Is that what you ended
the Shangria,
up with?
Yeah.
Shangria.
Yeah. Little Shandy, little, you know.
And now we're out of Shandy.
That's right. Now everybody's
but I assure you it was awesome.
Now, here's the other thing that I've noticed of having, because where I live, there are now 2-3 breweries nearby. What's a guy to do? So what I have found really interesting to me anyway is that there is, this is going to sound pretentious and I apologize for it in advance, and I'm not pandering to the three gentlemen who are here. I'm just saying, when you're used to drinking fresh beer, and then you go somewhere and you don't drink fresh beer, you realize that, wow, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So describe that phenomenon to me. Yeah.
Well, I think that really comes from us being a small system. We're just a 3.5 barrel brew house, and we double batch into 7 barrel fermenters. So, about 20% of what we produce we now self-distribute. So 80% of it just goes out the front door as retail. So we have a really quick turnaround. Gosh, I think our IPA, for example, which is our best seller, I mean, we're brewing that pretty much every 10 days, 10 to 12 days, we're brewing another batch of it just to keep up with the demand. So that's why, the beers are always fresh because it is such a small batch. So it makes it nice for that.
It's the only and I think, and I don't say this with any where's your thing,
my camera?
Yeah.
Oh, like
behind. Oh, good. You already did that without me. Yeah. Great.
She's on top of things.
Yes, she is. My question was, okay, so that's like the one beer, that's the only beer you guys make that I don't particularly like. But that's what it's all about, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's art. You know, it's like you go into a museum, you're not going to like every single painting or sculpture.
No.
You know, some of them are going to speak to you. Yeah. Some of them you're going to go, man, I could do that.
Good,
seriously?
Good analogy. Like, right on.
So, you know, it's that's why we, you know, our palette is wide. Yep. You know, let's use as many colors as we can. Yep.
So how many different beers do you have in the arsenal?
21. Officially at this point. Yeah. There's more. Rich came on officially now about 6 months ago or mm-hmm. so. And
Chris and Matt were the were the founders,
yep.
and mm-hmm. then Rich came into the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. And truth be told, Rich has kind of been a silent partner from the beginning, being the chemist.
Well, he is a strong silent type.
He is, isn't he? He's reassuring.
I just like to hang out and drink a lot of beer.
When Matt and I, we get, you know, scared, he hugs us.
Yeah. Yes, it's exactly. All very nice.
Works out.
Group hug.
Yes.
So 21 beers in the arsenal, yeah. and then there's always the beers that you have on tap all the time. And what are those?
Yeah, the Main Street, we like to call them, and that's the IPA, the Alt, the Blonde, and the Oatmeal Stout. Yeah. And those are the ones we presently bottle also.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there are the seasonals, mm-hmm. and then there's yep. the ones. So you have a beer, and we'll try this now. This is the Witch's Brew. This is one of my favorite beers. I think this is. I have a couple things to say about this beer. One is that it is, even though I would say it's more of a wintry beer. Which I think is what you intended it to be, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I think we first released it last fall, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and then people were stacking it with the pumpkin ale, and then we did a winter release again, I think, after the holidays, because we had a winter warmer beer for that. But yeah, the Witch's Brew has been a hit, and I think the reason people really like it is that it's...
What's in it?
Well, it's a bitter chocolate oatmeal stout, and it's kind of scary smooth. It's 7.6% alcohol. But we just completely mask any of the liquor notes with Ghirardelli chocolate or Ghirardelli, I don't know, potato, potato. chocolate. And it's definitely been a hit. And honestly, we wouldn't normally brew something this dark this time of year. But I mean, not to sound cliche, but it really was backed by popular demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, now, thanks, Joe. Yeah,
you're well, whatever I can do to help. Well, here's the thing I've noticed about it is, and I think I've discussed this with some of my coworkers, is that, for example, the other night you have these mini growlers, like 2.5, maybe 3 pints in those little mini growlers, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And boy, you have one of those suckers, and you know it.
Yeah.
Sneaks up on you.
It does sneak up on you.
A little kick
and
to it.
You know, we warn people. Yep. You know, because
scary smooth. Yeah. That's what I like to say.
Because the majority of our beers are session ales. You know, something that you can drink several, and you're still clear minded. And
now, here's the other thing. I want to say that I find fascinating about your establishment and about these other establishments, these farm breweries that have popped up throughout our state of New York and throughout our community, throughout the region. And that is that I pull up in front of your establishment, and there isn't a car there. I'm thinking, oh, the guys are having a slow night. And then you walk into the place, and there's 40 people there. Yeah. The great thing is that, I mean, this is, you walk to the brewery.
Yeah.
Or bike, or get dropped off, or whatever the case may
be. And I think that's the what we had ultimately hoped for, a neighborhood place to gather, you know, it, sort of the
local,
you know,
watering hole. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like an English pub or whatever, you know, where it's, you know, you're in a village somewhere, you know, and it's like, geez, you know, where do we go to meet and greet and have a beer? You know?
Yeah.
That's us. and it happened, you know, we didn't know that was going to happen.
No.
You know, we took a risk. We're not from Greenwich, but they were, you know, it's been great and no regrets there.
No,
so.
I mean,
great town. And then, so last night I leave after doing my due diligence to find out that you're all coming in, and I left you all playing cards against humanity. So
that was the first time I never played that game. I did have to shut it down.
That's pretty mean. After a while.
It was like, you know, the first round seemed pretty tame, but then that second round, I was like, I think we better, you know, this, you know. You know, we don't want to offend anybody, so
all right.
The second round got weird.
Let me do awkward with your customers, they have to see. So it's argylebrewing.com to find out more information. You can also check them out on Facebook. And hey, check them out in person at 1 Main Street, Greenwich. How hard is that to remember? 1 Main Street, Greenwich, New York. And you can find out more. You guys are also at the Saratoga
Farmers Market.
Farmers Market.
And Saturdays.
And what else are you doing?
Well, we're at Healthy Living. We're at Arnold's Grocery up in Keysville.
Yeah.
We're at several other establishments, Maxwell, The Anvil. Let's see, I'm missing the Old Station.
Mark's on the
Steakhouse.
Website.
Sweet
Bee, you know? All right, so here and there.
Yeah.
So that's great.
And they're listed on the website as well, where you can
Beverage
find
Warehouse
our beers.
Now, too, and
ArgyleBrewing.com to find out more information. Matt Stewart, Chris Castrio, and Rich Thomas, thank you very much for being with us this morning. A delight to have you guys here.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
We'll see you tonight.
Yeah. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.